Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care. Working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon, a show hosted by HWC founder and homeopath, Debbie Brook. She invites you to comment and call in to contribute your thoughts as we complete reading Samuel Hahnemann's Organon. Let's go!
Hi, I'm Debbie Brook, founder of Homeopathy World Community, taking time out in the day to begin with some inspiration to talk a bit about current events and read the words of Dr. Samuel Hahnemann in his Organon of Medicine. Today is October 24th, 2010, and you're listening to show number 116. Thank you so much for joining me. We have quite a bit of inspirational thoughts today. For one thing, it's my granddaughter's birthday. She's 2 years old, and we're so happy to celebrate together. You can see her picture. I'm holding her in my avatar profile. Dr. Sushil Bal has written on the Homeopathy World Community in his update, "Life has infinite grace, but we have missed it because of the conflict." Pravin Goswami has repeated to us, "If you are positive, then nothing is negative for you. If you are negative, then everything will be negative for you." I tried to find out where that quote came from, but I'm not sure. I'll continue to search it out. A few more items. An ancient Persian saying, "I had the blues because I had no shoes until upon the street I met a man who had no feet." It's kind of catchy rhyme, and it's really something that we should catch on to in terms of thinking of how much we have in this world, and appreciation is so, so important. Annie Gottlieb is a quote, says, "It's so hard when I have to, and it's so easy when I want to." I can just imagine a little kid saying, "I don't want to," but if they said, "I do want to," it would make life so much easier. There's also another longer poem that I put up on the Homeopathy World Community this week because it makes me kind of sad when people leave the community, but I know that they have to move on for their own personal reasons. And what came to mind was this particular inspirational poem that has gone around the internet for years and years, and it's very poignant and very, very good to hear. It says, "People come into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. When you figure out which one it is, you will know what to do for each person. When someone is in your life for a reason, it is usually to meet a need you have expressed. They have come to assist you through a difficulty, to provide you with guidance and support, to aid you physically, emotionally, or spiritually. They may seem like a godsend, and they are. They are there for the reason you need them to be. Then, without any wrongdoing on your part, or at an inconvenient time, this person will say or do something to bring the relationship to an end. Sometimes they die. Sometimes they walk away. Sometimes they act up and force you to take a stand. What we must realize is that our need has been met, our desire fulfilled, their work is done. The prayer you send up has been answered, and now it's time to move on. Then people come into your life for a season because your turn has come to share, grow, or learn. They bring you an experience of peace or make you laugh. They may teach you something you have never done. They usually give you an unbelievable amount of joy. Believe it, it is real, but only for a season. Lifetime relationships teach you lifetime lessons, things you must build upon in order to have a solid emotional foundation. Your job is to accept the lesson, love the person, and put what you have learned to use in all other relationships and areas of your life. It is said that love is blind, but friendship is clairvoyant. This inspirational poem is by an unknown author. Whoever it was just so insightful about how we have people who come into our lives for a reason, and maybe it's only temporary. And there are a few comments on this blog. It was this poem I did dedicate to all those who come for a while to see and visit Homeopathy World Community. They might become a member, they might leave, they might decide not to become a member anymore. And I know that whoever came and they left a trail behind, they contributed to the direction and the dynamics of the community. And for their own personal reasons, they have moved on. We thank them so very much. And those people who are still with us, we give you gratitude. And we ask you to continue to contribute as much as you are able to. Rate the videos, comment on them, let us know that you're here. Make a difference in our lives. The other thing I wanted to talk about today was this interplay between giving financial assistance and what happens to those funds once it has been given. Can it be seen in the Haiti fiasco? In the present emergency situation of the spreading contagious cholera epidemic, we shall see what happens, but we do know that billions of dollars were given with an open heart, with an open hand. People went in their pocket and pulled out and gave what they could. And for some reason, unknown to us, or maybe somebody does know, there was a difficulty with the infrastructure, with the political establishments in all the countries who were involved with the giving. We know that people gave their time, they flew shipments, we helped send someone to Haiti, and we were hoping that there would be care for these people in the long term and the short term, that not only would they get health care, they would get an improved infrastructure of buildings, of sanitation, of clean running water, of plumbing, somehow finding them the food that they need so that they would improve their immune system. There's so much going on. And in that vein, I wanted to direct your attention to a TEDS talk by Jacqueline Novogratz. It's called A Third Way to Think About Aid. And in that, she gives us very thought-provoking ideas and talking about how simple things can be with the cooperation of all levels of government and with innovations and creativity to really provide things that need to be provided in the most simplistic way, the most efficient way. And even if it's just providing for preventing malaria, just providing tents or netting. And there's a lot that we can learn from that little talk. And I'll put the link up there for you. I've also got a little puzzler, which we've been doing puzzlers lately. It's called Airplane. And here it is. I'll try to remember the answer at the end of the show. The Pope, Celine Dion, Barack Obama, and Bill Gates are on the same plane. There are only three parachutes left for the four of them. Obama says, as the president, I think I should have the right to have a parachute. because I rule millions of people in the greatest nation of all. Celine Dion says, as one of the greatest singers of all time, I think I should deserve to be safe. I bring tears and laughter to millions of people, and I'm an important contributor to pop music. Bill Gates says, as one of the richest successful company owners, I think I should live because I'm on top of the economic cycle, creating jobs and incomes for millions of people. I am a wealthy and intelligent man. Finally, the Pope says, I'm an old religious man. I live a life that's full. I help millions of people find their way through God. I'm ready to let go of a parachute and to face my fate. Okay, now it's up to you. Here's the question. Which one of them will abandon the parachute and die? Okay, think about it. Do you think it's going to be a political leader, Obama, a celebrity who entertains, Celine Dion, Bill Gates, a computer expert, a economic financial wizard, or the Pope, a religious leader? Okay, we're going to go ahead and begin our reading of the Organon of Medicine, which is written by Dr. Sam Lemon. We were reading, I'm going to do a lead up to aphorism number 104 and the 105 by reading 104 first. When the totality of the symptoms that specially mark and distinguish the case of disease, or in other words, when the picture of the disease, whatever be its kind, is once accurately sketched, the most difficult part of the task is accomplished. The physician has then the picture of the disease, especially if it be a chronic one, always before him to guide him in his treatment. He can investigate it in all its parts and can pick out the characteristic symptoms in order to oppose to these, that is to say, to the whole malady itself, a very similar artificial morbific force in the shape of a homeopathically chosen medicinal substance selected from the list of symptoms of all the medicines whose pure effects have been ascertained. And when, during the treatment, he wishes to ascertain what has been the effect of the medicine and what change has taken place in the patient's state, at this fresh examination of the patient, he only needs to strike out of the list of the symptoms noted down at the first visit those that have become ameliorated, to mark what still remain and add any new symptoms that may have supervened. There's the footnote. The old school physician gave himself very little trouble in this matter in his mode of treatment. He would not listen to any minute detail of all the circumstances of his case by the patient. Indeed, he frequently cut him short in his relationship, in his relation of his sufferings, in order that he might not be delayed in the rapid writing of his prescription, composed of a variety of ingredients unknown to him in their true effects. No allopathic physician, as has been said, sought to learn all the minute circumstances of the patient's case, and still less did he make a note in writing of them. On seeing the patient again several days afterwards, he recollected nothing concerning the few details he had heard at the first visit, having in the meantime seen so many other patients laboring under different affections. He had allowed everything to go in at one ear and out at the other. At subsequent visits, he only asked a few general questions, went through the ceremony of feeling the pulse at the wrist, looked at the tongue, and at the same moment wrote another prescription on equally irrational principles, or ordered the first one to be continued in considerable quantity several times a day. And with a graceful bow, he hurried off to the 50th or 60th patient he had to visit in this thoughtless way in the course of that forenoon, which of all others requires actually the most reflection, a conscientious, careful examination of the state of each individual patient, and a special treatment founded thereon was conducted in this manner by persons who call themselves physicians, rational practitioners. The result as might naturally be expected, was almost invariably bad, and yet patients had to go to them for advice, partly because there were none better to be had, partly for fashion's sake. Now, Hahnemann is really, really very harsh in his language here, in his writing about how a physician will take a case, will pay attention to the individual, will write down the minutest of details, will do a follow-up, or whether the physician has just got to see the patient as a ritual. Just look at, take the pulse, look at the tongue, palpate here and there, check this and that, take some swabs. I must say that there are good physicians out there, and I want to give them credit for what they do, for their caring nature, for their intention of wanting to be a person who heals, a person who helps their patients. And there are physicians who really do listen. And if the patient comes in and wants some special kind of care, wants to be as natural in their approach, there are physicians who will do that regarding taking vaccinations or other kinds of medications. However, the majority are in this basket of people that Hahnemann has said mostly is seen, probably due to the pressures upon them, and he understands that too, because he's even give them a little bit of an excuse in the answer, saying that they're required to see so many patients. It makes a lot of difference that they are not able to be given so much time. And because of this, because of the pressures and the way the medical system works, they're not able to really ascertain the full morbific disease and understand the full picture of the disease in order to understand what is actually happening. And whether they do or do not know the effects of the medications and the drugs that they give, this I can't say for them. Only the doctor knows, sort of like only your hairdresser knows. Have they read the brochures? Have they read up on what's happening in the medical system today? Are they one of the pediatricians has decided to take upon themselves the idea that too much antibiotics is going to cause resistance in the children and that there are other ways to take care of ear infections so that they don't recur? We have a couple of blogs on HWC about that. If there are any comments, I would love to hear on the live chat about comments about aphorism number 104. It is a very deep and rich aphorism, but we are going to go ahead and continue on to aphorism number 5 today to move along. And hopefully there might be a conversation on the website to talk a little bit more about that aphorism. Aphorism number 104 says, "The second point of the business of a true physician relates to acquiring a knowledge of the instruments intended for the cure of the natural diseases, investigating the pathogenic power of the medicines in order, when called on to cure, to be able to select from among them one from the list of whose symptoms are an artificial disease may be constructed, as similar as possible to the totality of the principal symptoms of the natural disease sought to be cured." So in aphorism number leading up, aphorism number 102, 3, and 4, the physician is asked to take a really good case, to mark down the symptoms, to know the totality of the picture, to see whether it is a contagious disease or a chronic disease or an acute disease, and to really understand fully all about the disease itself that is being inflicted, suffering on the patient, and what is it that has changed from that normal individual state of being to the new state of being where they're now under having all of these symptoms that's causing them the discomforts and pains of disease. So here in aphorism number 105, he says we need to now look at the medications that are going to be used, the remedies, we call them, and here he's calling them the instruments intended for the cure of the natural disease, because the way that we cure a natural disease is by giving a similar artificial disease that is similar to the one that we've just been describing, the case intake, we've just understood fully what it is that describes the disease. Now we need to find something that's going to match this change in the vital force. And so he says, you must also know the pathogenic power of the medicines. What changes will the medications make in the individual? In antibiotics, we know that it's broad spectrum or sometimes more specific, and we know that there are changes that occur through taking antibiotics. But the problem is the physician does not look at all of the changes that can take place. The fact that it can cause digestive upset, diarrhea, aches and pains in the muscle tissue, all these other things that are not taken into consideration. But for the homeopath, we must learn the complete pathogenic power of these medicines. And therefore, once you see that total picture in the disease, you can find the thing that's going to match it from this implementing an artificial similar disease. It sounds strange. It sounds very, very strange to one who's unfamiliar with homeopathy, with the basic principle of likes cures likes, but it's like a harmonic, like a resonance that's going to stimulate the vital force to heal itself through this vibration. It's going to trigger, like a catalyst, initiation of the person's immune system, if they're strong enough, some reaction to throw off the disease. And in the previous aphorisms, he said, as you have been giving the drugs, you're going to check the progress of the disease by checking off on your list the symptoms that have been ameliorated, those have maybe been aggravated, and those possibly new symptoms that have come along. Is it because the disease has progressed to another stage, or is it because you haven't matched precisely the proper remedy that's going to take care of all of the symptoms at once? We're going to go ahead to aphorism number 106. And I'm just asking if anyone on the live chat is listening and possibly has any comments today to add to this. Hahnemann is really teaching us some important points about medicines, drugs, how to take a case, how to be observant and careful in our prescriptions. Aphorism 106 says, the whole pathogenic effects of the several medicines must be known. That is to say, all the morbid symptoms and alterations in the health that each of them is specially capable of developing in the healthy individual must first have been observed as far as possible before we can hope to be able to find among them and to select suitable homeopathic remedies for most of the natural diseases. It sounds to me as if Hahnemann is speaking about provings, which means that remedies were given to healthy individuals, or possibly there was an accidental poisoning. And then we find out what is the response, what is the reaction of the vital force of the individual, what kinds of symptoms occur when a medicine is given, or a toxin, or a poison. These are provings. And once those are all tabulated and learned by the homeopath, they can use their knowledge base, which in aphorism number 105 becomes the toolbox. It's the homeopath's instruments of cure to know how a remedy is going to act in a healthy person, so that when one sees the same symptoms in an ill person, you can apply the drug that matches it. And that is aphorism number 106. We're just going to move right along today into aphorism number 107. If, in order to ascertain this, medicines be given to sick persons only, even though they be administered singly or alone, then little or nothing precise is seen of their true effects, as those peculiar alterations of the health to be expected from the medicine are mixed up with the symptoms of the disease and can seldom be distinctly observed. Okay, here's an important point in aphorism number 107, that in order to really know what curative effects the remedies, the drugs that we are using homeopathically can do, we must be testing them on well people, on healthy people, strong people, to see what kind of reaction and response. And in the provings, we might find the many individuals who are doing this group proving have different symptoms. And we put all of those together to see what is the total picture to ascertain what the medicines will do. Now, he's warning us that if you give this medicine, drug, remedy to a sick person, you're only getting a part of the total picture of what this drug can do. And he's saying that there's nothing precise and you're not really seeing the true effects, because the vital force of that individual is not strong enough to be able to provide all of the symptoms that a healthy person would be able to do. He says, as those peculiar alterations of the health to be expected from the medicine are mixed up with the symptoms of the disease. So therefore, we're getting an inaccurate picture. We're getting part of it from the disease. So if you gave this remedy to a person who had chickenpox, a person who had measles, a person who had mumps, a person who had influenza, a person who had rheumatoid arthritis, we're going to find the responses are going to be quite different, and we're not going to be ascertaining specifically the true picture of the drug, of what it can do when it is given, administered alone as a single remedy to a healthy individual. This is a very interesting point, and that is why perhaps we are always doing new provings and redoing provings to see and confirm what a remedy can do. We've had about 1 minute left. I want to give you the answer to today's puzzler. You have a choice of the Pope, Celine Dion, Barack Obama, and Bill Gates, who are on the same plane. And did you choose which of them will abandon their chute and die, or which one will abandon their parachute and die, or maybe which one you would have chosen would have been the one to do that? The answer is that no one's going to die, because I never mentioned that the plane was crashing. So they are all on the same plane, and I wonder what kind of discussion all of those powerful people in the world would have been having about hopefully improving our world and finding a way to get together and make it a better place for everyone to live. Maybe they should be on a plane together so that they can discuss some important things that are happening in the world today. Well, I thank everyone for listening. It's time for me to close the show. And I would hope everyone has a wonderful, wonderful day.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon with host Debbie Brook on Homeopathy World Community Radio. Remember to take your Organon off the shelf and read it.